Hello and welcome to another episode of the Old Lady Speaks podcast on Black and White and Red All Over. I'm your host, Danny, coming to you for episode number 80, a nice round number. And if you want to listen to this episode, number 80, and our 79 previous ones and a few other special editions like our Book Chat with Chucks, you can subscribe to us on your favorite podcasting platform, be it Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts, and rate us and review us and all this good stuff. And I try not to repeat what I'm saying here because I always struggle with this part of the intro. So let me get out of it. Sam LaPresse. Hello, Sam.
How's it going, Danny? Happy New Year.
Obviously great.
Were you about as overserved as Andy Cohen was on New Year's Eve? Are you still trying to work that off?
Right? No, I was actually working on New Year's Eve, so I could not partake.
That was as a New Yorker, that was just fun. Yes. To watch when he just like straight up shredded Bill de Blasio, who, by the way, is a Napolitano. So, one more reason to say screw
well,
him.
Well, you are forecasting what we're about to.
Yes, indeed. Yes.
You're teasing.
That's called foreshadowing.
That's right.
Yeah, but also just to see Anderson Cooper being like, no, oh, no. That was the moment of my New Year's Eve.
Somebody who I can guess was probably a little more sober than Andy Cohen. Chucks. Hello, Chucks.
Hello. Yes. Yeah. I don't drink very much, and frankly, I mean, we sleep through New Year's Eve. We don't really do all this stuff. I don't know. I guess you get older, and you're just like, yeah, whatever. But and it's funny you mentioned Anderson Cooper. I just listened to an interview with him on a podcast, and super interesting guy. I never knew he was really that interesting. Very, very fascinating guy. So
yes, he is.
Pretty cool guy. So yeah, then Happy New Year, of course.
Thank you, Chuck.
yes. you gain my blessing.
There we go. Last but not least, Sergio. Hello, Sergio. How was your New Year's Eve?
Hey, fellas. Happy to be here. It's pretty calm, pretty chill, actually. I just kind of stayed home. I'm working through a cold right now, which is now scary because of COVID. So now every time you have like even the mildest symptoms, like you have to go running to get a test, and it just like people forget we had colds before. Like that's a thing that happens. Like not necessarily everything is COVID now, but yeah, other than that, it was fine. It was a nice chill evening.
Was that chill because of the cold or just because you kept it low key?
Oh no, low key. Like it's Mexico. We never really get that cold.
All right. Well, as Sam forecasted, we will start out this week's episode talking about Juventus's first game right out of the block in January. And oh boy, if you haven't looked at the schedule in January over the last few days with Juventus not playing during the holiday break, it is quite the test, both on the domestic front and also the domestic cup front. So we will start, obviously, with the first game, and that is against Napoli, as Sam mentioned, with Bill de Blasio's rooting interest potentially. And it is something I think we can all agree on, that it is good to see Juventus getting good news in terms of Paulo Dybala and Federico Chiesa coming back to training this weekend. It is bad news where Giorgio Chiellini is, as of recording, one of three senior team players currently in isolation because they tested positive for COVID, with Carlo Pinsolio and Artur being the other two. And I think it's safe to say at this point, as we've been saying for what feels like months now, big game against another top four rival, it's must win because Juventus need points, right?
Yeah, I think especially home game, first game out of the new year, first game of the Ritorna. And yeah, Juve need these points, but it's also, I think, a must win. And sometimes a break like the Christmas break can arrest this form, but Napoli have really been tanking lately. Napoli had a really bad run into Christmas. Two wins, one draw, three losses in December, including a loss to Spezia, a loss to Empoli, and only one of those wins was domestically. The other one was against Leicester in Europa League play. So yeah, Napoli are not coming in on a high. They're going to have a couple guys missing due to COVID. And also for Napoli, this is a big game for Napoli too, when you think that they are losing Koulibaly and who's the midfielder? Anguissa? to AFCON right after this game. So, you know, they're going to be shorthanded for a couple of weeks once this game is over. So for them to add some cushion against Juve is going to be a big deal. And then you're looking again at the fact that they are down Victor Osimhen, who just, whenever they don't have him in the lineup, it seems to make them much, much less potent a force. You know, Luciano Spalletti either having to go false nine with Mertens or throw in Andrea Petagna out there. So this is a vulnerable Napoli team right now. They're certainly not coming into this in the best of shape. And it's the kind of game where you have to take advantage and you have to hit hard. And maybe that'll turn your own momentum around. Because lose this game, frankly, even dropping points in this game, is just going to be, man, it's going to be such a letdown coming out when over the last two games before the Christmas break, you've actually managed to worm your way back into legitimate striking distance for the top four. You know, you're only 4 points back, you're only 5 points behind Napoli. So you've got to come out of this swinging and you've got to hit this hard, because otherwise you're right back into a situation where you're probably looking at the Champions League as less than possible.
And it's really quite incredible that, you know, I've repeated this multiple times, of course, so don't want to beat on the dead horse too much, but it's really quite incredible thinking about the horrible start we had to the season, and yet still we're only 4 points off fourth place, Atalanta. You know, Juve right now on 34 points after 19 games, and Atalanta on 38 after 19, and Napoli just 1 point ahead there in 39. So, you know, even despite just the trials and tribulations of the first, six games or so of the season, we're very much in it for fourth place finish, I wouldn't have been so optimistic about a month or two ago, but, you know, here we are. Yeah, I mean, it's clearly a must-win game just because it's against a direct competitor for that fourth place. If we beat them, we'll be on 37 and just 2 points off Napoli then. And, well, presumably Atalanta will win, so then Atalanta will jump Napoli and, put just some real pressure on Napoli to miss out on be in a bit of a tougher spot for getting top four, which, is quite surprising given how they started the season with, I think it was like, what, the first seven games they won or something like that, one of their best starts.
Yeah, they were one of the hottest teams to start the season.
Easily. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, they were, I mean, they were really, really just, I mean, scoring, not just winning, I mean, conceding very few goals as well. So, it just shows that, the terrible cliche of, you know, the season is really 38 games long. So it's, of course, the early form is important, but I mean, it's still so much to happen. Even now, there's still so much to happen that, I mean, Lord knows we're exactly halfway through the season. And I mean, there's so much still that can happen. I was trying to kind of figure out exactly which players were missing for Napoli. It was a little difficult. I was doing some research kind of before this, and just while you were talking, Sam. So from what I understand, I was trying to figure out if the AFCON players were going to be leaving just before or just after the Juve game. So I was still a little confused about that. But yeah, indeed, I mean, they have a few players out with COVID, a few players still in isolation. From what I understand as well, it's Osimhen, Elmas, and I'm hearing Lozano also has to isolate due to contact with a positive case as well. And just reading from Football Italia as well, Insigne and Ruiz recently recovered. It says recently recovered from the virus, but they are likely to be in poor physical condition after missing a number of training sessions. So, it's going to be a little, I really don't know what lineup they're going to have. I don't really know who's going to be available. So a lot of uncertainty around this game. Who knows, you know, what's going to happen there. Of course, on the Juve front, it's just, Artur, Pinzolio, and Chiellini.
If you go to the Gazzetta dello Sport lineup predictor, this is somewhat amusing, although it I mean, I guess if it was Juventus, it wouldn't be so amusing. But if you look at what they predict Napoli's bench will look like just in terms of senior squad players, Napoli are down so many guys that they have all of four players available on their bench, or could have four players available on their bench. Two of them are backup goalkeepers. So as you mentioned, Chuck, you look at it, you know, you've got Osimhen out with COVID, and obviously he had, as we were talking beforehand, he had his injury struggles as well. Koulibaly is AFCON, Anguissa AFCON, Victor Onis AFCON, Elmas COVID, Lozano COVID. They got a lot of guys, and yeah, it's not great.
And that has an effect. You remember the game against AC Milan at San Siro last year. One of the biggest deciding factors in that game when Juve won was the fact that Milan had a bunch of guys out that game. Their bench was really short, and eventually Juve just outlasted them and had better guys to come out on the bench to change the game. That's a huge deciding factor when it comes down to it. You know, if Juve managed to avoid more positive cases between now and Thursday, that's an enormous advantage going in.
Yeah, I think the good thing about this early month of Juve games is that we're going to know very quickly if this team has any shot in the remainder of the year. And I like that, because not to make a comparison to another sport, but very early on in this football season, I knew that my Denver Broncos were mediocre. And it's just one of those things that's like, okay, like I know that for a fact. So you can very much stop caring. And I think it's going to be the same thing right now for Juventus. I mean, when you look at their schedule, you have Napoli, you have Roma, you have Udinese, and you have Milan in the league. So that's pretty much three direct competitors for those top four spots. That's, you know, three out of four pretty decent teams with Udinese there. And as they've shown, they can lose to anyone. So, I mean, it really is going to be very clear, I think, after January, whether or not this team, you know, is going to get anywhere in the league. And even in cup play, they have their first cup game against Sampdoria, which is technically should be a manageable game. But again, like they can lose to anyone. So it wouldn't shock me if we're sitting here in early February and they're out of the Copa. They're, you know, pretty much out of anything remotely resembling a title run or even a top four run by the end of January. So we really are going to see who this team is once and for all. I think if they come out of this month swinging, if they beat Napoli, if they beat Milan, if they really go out there and show they have something, I think this is where to do it. And even you have sandwich there, the Supercoppa against Inter, which sure, the Supercoppa, you know, some people care, some people don't, but that's still a game against Inter. You know, just for figuring out where you stand, I think it's going to be important. So yeah, this is a make or break, not only a make or break game against Napoli, but to me, it's a make or break month. I think we could very easily be sitting here on February just discussing, you know, where do Juve go from here, because they're out of pretty much anything. So it's definitely going to be an interesting game, an interesting month. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. So I can know if I can check out emotionally from giving a crap about Juventus for the rest of the year.
And also the Supercopa, Sergio, that's very of interest to a certain Twitter name that you have had for the past year.
Yes, I am the type of person that cares about the Supercopa when we win. If we lose, it's just whatever. It's like, congrats on your tin fake Mickey Mouse cup. Like, who cares? But if we win, then, you know, it's a turning point.
I'm really interested just looking in this Napoli game. The return of Federico Chiesa and what that means to the lineup. Remember, we had that Twitter question last week about, you know, how do you line up with a healthy Chiesa, healthy Dybala coming out of the Christmas break. Now, you put the news bite up earlier today, Danny, that both of them are back in full training. It looks like they're going to be in the starting 11 heading into this game. And I am very excited to see what, if anything, Max Allegri is going to do tactically, now that he's kind of finally worked his way out of the doldrums of this 4-4-2 and into a more, you know, into the 4-4-3-3s that we saw at the beginning, at the very end of December, of the 4-2-3-1 that we saw before Dybala got hurt again. Like a 4-2-3-1 with Chiesa, Dybala, and I don't know, maybe Cuadrado on one side, Chiesa on the other. Maybe you put in the wings of Fede.
There you go.
Maybe you throw, maybe you throw Moise Kean out onto the left because he's been doing so well. That, here's some more foreshadowing. We might not end up seeing that at least in the immediate future because of some interesting transfer action.
He's a man of teases today.
I am. So you may need Moise Kean up front in the striker position, but I really, really want to see what these newer formations, which even though they haven't been producing goals by the absolute boatload, they have looked far more dynamic than anything that we saw in those, you know, in those first 2-3 months of the season. And I really want to see what these players can do when they're set up like this, especially against a team like Napoli that is kind of reeling and like you said, depending on the schedule for these players, may or may not have Kalidou Koulibaly at all. And, you know, with Kostas Matalas going back over to Olympiacos at the beginning of this transfer window, I'm not entirely certain who they are actually going to be starting at center back if Koulibaly isn't there. It's like Rahmani, I guess, and who would be pairing up with him?
Just gonna look. Am I correct in saying Juan Jesus is
you
still
are at correct? The
club? Juan Jesus, yes. Yeah, it would be Juan Jesus. Yeah.
I was gonna double check that as I was looking at it, but ding ding ding, I'm right. But you know, you talk about the tactics, Sam, and I think one kind of tricky thing for this game as well for Max preparing for this game is like, I mean, I'm sure he doesn't know any better than we do who's even going to be available from Napoli's end. So then, I guess he won't really know what they're going to play like. And if you don't know how your opposition is going to play like, how do you kind of prepare, I guess? And that's...
Well, hell, he might not even know who's available on his own team.
Well, yeah, true. You know, I mean, on the Chiesa and Dybala front, I mean, okay, so they've returned to full training. I doubt he would risk them, especially Dybala. I doubt he would risk them for, you know, right away. I mean, maybe a few minutes. I don't know. I doubt, especially with the volume of games we're going to be playing over the next, 6 weeks or so. I would presume that we won't be seeing too much of them next Thursday. The game is, yeah, Thursday. So, I'm not going to put my hopes out for that too much. So, yeah, but like I said, just in terms of preparation, you know, it's quite a challenge for him just knowing, you know, which players are even available for Napoli. And then, of course, for us, I mean, you know, between now and Thursday, it's still possible some people can, contract COVID. And I remember Thomas Tuchel with Chelsea was talking about this. I listened to an interview of his, I don't know, it was last week, the week before, something like that. He was visibly irritated.
It wasn't the Lukaku interview, was it?
No, it wasn't that, although he's probably more agitated about that. Gosh, that's, yeah. I think he was very diplomatic in saying that was not, what did he say, not useful or something? I was like, that was very diplomatic, Thomas.
He also joked that players are not allowed to have any more interviews. I'm guessing there were some troops to that.
Yeah,
I certainly wouldn't. I mean, although, and talk about a lack of self-awareness of a guy like Lukaku. I mean, it makes me even more glad that we never actually did the Dybala Lukaku swap in the first place. Because, geez, goodness gracious, yeah. That's just a lack of self-awareness in the worst way.
Yeah. But, you know, obviously Chelsea's problems. But, Tuchel, in an interview, he was just really explaining in detail just like how his player selection and even to a degree his tactics. He was saying like, you know, paraphrasing a little bit here, but I'm barely able to like play a team that's like truly optimized for tactics and like really thoughtfully put down. I'm basically just playing whatever I can put together based on, you know, people being out due to COVID due to injury or just yeah, he really just like, he was very transparent about this. He just said, you know, okay, we're at a hotel, and then we hear that some people got COVID, and then okay, we have to isolate them, but then I've made tactics and preparations with those players, now I have to change them, and now everybody has to, you know, change like eating schedules and stuff because okay, these guys are out. And then, you know, he was just really going into detail about how, like, on a very logistical level, how much this affects his job, and just, you know, how the players are able to prepare for it, and especially mentally, like how much it affects them just not being able to be you know, just mentally fully onto the game. And I thought it was just very useful, just the human perspective into you know, how COVID is just affecting players and coaches as well. And anyway, again, I just say that to say, you know, with Allegri, and then I guess to a degree also with Spalletti, it's just hard to make any types of predictions for this game just because of these types of disruptions going on. But yeah, so, you know, obviously I sympathize with them, and yeah, we'll see what happens on Thursday.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com. For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
All right. Well, Sam foreshadowed talk of certain Spanish strikers potentially not being around much longer. And I think to a lot of our surprise, the Alvaro Morata to Barcelona rumors have seemingly come out of nowhere, because we know how much Morata really loves Juventus and obviously loves Italy in general. But for a guy, I think, who has been in so much uncertainty the last couple of years, whether it's uncertainty at Atletico Madrid or uncertainty at Juventus, knowing just if he will actually be staying more than a year at a time, going to Barcelona, his, I don't know, I mean, even though it's reportedly an 18-month contract that he's being offered, is, you know, some sort of stability. So I think as we've heard from the Italian press, and as we can pretty much put two and two together, Morata ain't leaving unless Juventus gets a replacement. And the names of potential replacements are pretty much who you would expect at this point, because the Italian press tends to do that in terms of recycling names when it comes to striker transfers and Juventus. So first, I guess I'll throw out the question, what do we think about Morata actually leaving? And as a follow-up question, how do we feel about any of these potential names actually arriving at Juventus? Like, is there a name out there that you're like, okay, this guy could actually help the team? And I will throw it first to Sergio Romero.
You know, it feels really weird to be saying it, but yeah, you know, Morata, he has his issues. We've discussed them in this pod in pieces pretty much since he came back for his second stint as a Juve player. He has his issues. He's inconsistent as all hell. He can go through cold streaks. And when he does that, he becomes a very, very below average player. But the truth of the matter is that he is really, he's still their best striker, like their best natural center forward. Moise Kean has shown flashes, but hasn't really shown that he can be the guy on a day-to-day basis. Caio George, we've seen pretty much nothing from him. I mean, he's had a couple chances. He's looked decent here and there, but there's not a lot of sample size there. So it's really, really weird to me that of the names that might leave in a January transfer window, one of those is Morata's, which leads me to believe that it is because he wants out. And honestly, I don't blame him necessarily, because the writing is on the wall for him. I think pretty much, you know, every report that we've seen, and just because of the the financial situation for Juve, I think it's pretty much a done deal that he's not going to get, you know, that clause to buy him outright is not going to get activated. Could Juventus figure out a way with Atletico Madrid down the road to make a, you know, a cheaper deal or something? Maybe, but it doesn't really seem like Juve is interested in keeping him long term. So I guess I can kind of see his interest in, you know, if he's going to be moving on, might as well get on it right now, especially in Barcelona, where they don't really have a center forward, like a big time center forward either. That's a decent spot for him. It's just, it really came out of the clouds. And just because of that, I don't even know if Juventus were budgeting for it. I really think that this might have even blindsided them, because immediately the rumor mill was the same names that always get thrown out there, that have been getting thrown out there for like years now. It's like Mauro Icardi. It's like now Aubameyang. It's like the same Scamacca. It's like the same three dudes that we've been hearing for like years now. So it still feels like a long shot, just because it's going to be very complicated to negotiate it between three teams. And then Juve has to bring in someone. It feels like a long shot. With that being said, if it really is Morata pushing for the move, if it, you know, compromises the integrity of the locker room moving forward, maybe, you know, he forces a move. But I just, you know, if I were to put my money on something, I think Morata remains until the end of the season and they let him go back to Atletico Madrid. I think that's how it's all going to unfold. But who knows? Because it really is something that came out of left field, one of those winter break and, you know, slow news day, and they make this up. But it apparently has some wheels to it. I mean, reliable sources are reporting it. So who knows? It still feels like a long shot to me. But, I mean, weirder things have happened. So it's going to be interesting to see how Juve, you know, figure this one out.
Yeah, it's all about the likelihood of a move actually happening. Like you said, they're not going to let him go if there's not a replacement on the roster. Getting a replacement is going to be fundamentally very difficult. I mean, putting aside the idea that Dusan Vlahovic is not leaving Fiorentina until the summertime, if he doesn't, he's going to the Premier League. Who do you want for these guys? Who are you looking at on these replacements? Like you said, Danny, Mauro Icardi, in the first place, if you look up the word distraction in the dictionary, you will find a picture of Mauro Icardi and Juan Bonata standing together and staring at you. Second, and this is something that I've repeatedly had discussions, if not arguments, with people over various media forum, Mauro Icardi looks like he's washed. Like, he hasn't scored more than 12 goals in a league season since like 2017, his second to last year at Inter. He's not, there are no indications that he is that good anymore. So you've got a guy who's bound to be a distraction on the off the field, hasn't really been doing much of anything on the field for years now. And then you look into the fact that PSG, apparently, for whatever reason, I have no idea why PSG need $100 million and 100 million euros in transfer revenues, but that's something that I'm hearing a lot in the media sphere these days, is that they need like a bunch of transfer revenues in January, and Juve's only ever going to be able to get Icardi on loan, so that's not going to contribute much to what PSG might need from a sale. So that's another thing that I don't think, you know, Aubameyang, older guy, again, kind of looking washed. He's having these problems with Arsenal. Scamacca looks like a better option as a replacement. He looks like more of a guy that could make a contribution long-term. I just don't think, you know, again, Juve doesn't have the money to make a €40 million deal. And that's his price tag right now, which I think is way overinflated, but I've also seen Divock Origi's name thrown out there from Liverpool, because he's not getting minutes over there. And Origi looks, you know, he looks good at once every 2 or 3 months with a good game, and then he goes back to just being Divock Origi. So yeah, there isn't a lot to replace Morata with. Nothing that seems realistic as a move. That said, if it's going to cause real trouble, and I don't. That's the thing, is that I do think Morata, like you said, Sergio, is looking for some semblance of stability. He knows the writing, like you said, is on the wall about his option. I don't think it's going to be picked up. You know, I don't necessarily blame him for wanting to start the next chapter of his career as quickly as he can in a much more stable way. But I do think he, like you said, Danny, he does love Juventus. He does have a lot of love for this team. And I don't, if it doesn't get done, I don't think he'd turn it into, I don't think he'd turn it into a situation. I think he'd be professional and play it out, but we'll have to see what happens. And it'll be very interesting to see how he gets played. Is he going to play against Napoli? Is he going to play in these big games in January? Is he going to be on the bench? Is he going to get frozen out? You know, if something like that happens, then that's a good indication of what might end up becoming of these rumors. But I just don't see the replacement coming in a realistic way to allow this transfer.
Yeah, and I think the most important thing to me in my mind is that all of the proposed moves, I think you're in the same place as you are with Morata. I don't think your position improves a whole lot, because even if you, I think the latest reports were that Juventus were definitely looking for a fee of some sort of to let Morata go early. You know, let's say they get that fee, they just pretty much take it and give it to PSG to bring in Mario Icardi with another loan with option to buy. Like, is that really, like, are you in a better position with that? Not really. I don't think Icardi at this point is a whole lot of better than what Morata can bring to the table. You pretty much just substituted one striker that you're not going to buy in the summer transfer window for another one. So you're not really improving your position a lot. I don't, like, probably Aubameyang would be similar. I don't think it's going to be a super different deal. So it really feels like just switching one future problem for another future problem, like a very similar one at that. So to me, that signals that it's definitely, if there is a move to be made, I think Morata is pushing for it. Which is kind of, I mean, I get it. You know, if they're pretty much telling you that they're going to, you know, send you on your way in 6 months, I get not being super happy with the management. I get not being super thrilled about just being a sitting duck. I kind of get it. But if this is it for Morata, I guess it's kind of a bummer that it's going to go down that way. I think he's kind of a fan favorite in a lot of ways. He's been part of a lot of fun teams for Juventus. A lot of big goals, and when he's on, he's still a really good striker. I'd rather keep Morata than any of the options that are being thrown around in the rumor mill. So it's, you know, that to me is the biggest thing. Like, I don't think any move they can make is going to A, make this team a whole lot better, and B, financially put them in a better position. I think really it's just a par for par sort of switch, and I don't really see why Juventus would be inclined to do that.
Yeah, like you guys said, I mean, you've really said it. The other options, frankly, aren't very encouraging, I should say, and yeah, won't really put us in any better position at all either. And also, Danny, like you said in the article, I think from yesterday or the day before, you know, you're dealing with three parties. Well, actually, four. Or no. Wait, one, two, three, four. Yeah, four parties now. Yeah, well, Morata, Juve, Atletico, Barca.
You lost count at this point.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's man, a whole lot of legal fees being sloshed around. So yeah, you're dealing with four parties, which is quite the logistical stuff to do. Yeah, and you know, I think just to add to what you guys have said and kind of not really talked about yet is, I mean, I think Juve. And myself included as well, would have been all right with letting Morata go right now if like Moise Kean and Caio Jorge were like, I mean, on fire, if they were like Ballon d'Or winning form or something, you know, if they were just banging in goals, you know, left, right, and center, then I think club would have been like, okay, you know, we got two really, really hot strikers. We can, you know, last with that till the end of the year and then like kind of reevaluate. Clearly, that's not the case. We don't have that. So that obviously puts us in the situation where we have one, I mean, good, like very, like good, yeah, striker, very good striker, good slash very good striker. And then one yeah, Moise Kean, who's still kind of finding his feet. And yeah, another Caio Jorge, who hasn't frankly gotten any opportunity to find his feet yet. So yeah, I mean, that just puts us in pretty in a position where we just don't have the luxury to let go of Morata at this time. Yeah, if we did, I'm sure we would have, given just how he's been a good guy, just a very professional, just a very nice guy, I'm sure he would have, you know, done it out of goodwill to let him go. But, you know, we have to make a deal. We have to look out for our own interests, obviously. I mean, you know, the management, that is the goal. That is their, you know, prerogative. They have to look out for the best interests of the club. And, I mean, letting him go, letting Morata go right now just wouldn't, you know, be in our best interests. And just one last thing I will add as well, and I mentioned this, I think, last week as well. I think this supposed, you know, move just emphasizes, again, how, I think, how much of a missed opportunity, like, Moise Kean is leaving, like, on the table. Like, you know, I said before that Morata, given his inconsistency, I mean, it's just there for the taking. That number nine spot is there for the taking for Moise Kean or even Caio Jorge. But this even more so now with him potentially leaving, it just shows, like, man, that number nine spot is there for the taking. Like, it is just, you know, okay, first you had Ronaldo to compete with, but now, well, okay, Moise Kean wasn't here then, but, you know, when Ronaldo's there, okay, it's hard, obviously. Or like you mentioned, Divock Origi, Sam, I think he's a victim of just having three really amazing strikers in front of him, which makes it hard. And I mean, he plays quite well when he's subbed on, but yeah, he just has really good players in front of him. But that's not the case, you know, at Juve. So, I mean, it's just, yeah, I really wish, yeah, Moise Kean or even Caio Jorge could just, you know, really take that spot and make it theirs.
If you have a guy like Icardi or Aubameyang coming in as the, you know, the body that replaces Morata on the depth chart, you still do have to look forward in the summer, and you still do have to think Juventus still are gonna really want Dusan Vlahovic, and they're still gonna try to make that move, and we're probably gonna see a bunch of, you know, we're probably going to see a whole saga in the summer, the way we did with Locatelli, of, you know, there's going to be a meeting, there's going to be another meeting, there's going to be another meeting. And, you know, and, but also, especially, you know, there are rumors that I'm seeing, obviously the level of reliability can go up and down, but we mentioned before the stuff with Romelu Lukaku. Well, if he's out at Chelsea, Inter probably isn't in a financial position to bring him back, especially since they're not going to be able to use the growth decree to get the break on the taxes for him, because he hasn't spent enough time away from Italy. He has to have been living away from Italy for 2 years. So that a lot of reports I'm seeing are putting Tottenham in play for him and a reunion with Antonio Conte. That takes Tottenham away as one of the major players in for Vlahovic, and does strengthen Juve's position a little bit. And what I'm trying to get at here is, assume you get Vlahovic in the summer in some way, they get the formula right. Fiorentina makes the sale. There's a riot in Florence, because there always is when those transfers happen. Tito blocks us for a couple of months. And then what happens to that guy that we get in January now? Now he is decidedly a second string striker. Potentially Juventus has spent a decent amount of money trying to get him in. So you've got like that, the law, there doesn't seem to be a lot of long-term planning going on here in terms of what you're, you know, what are you doing? What do you do? You know, how do you connect the January transfer window to the summer? How do you make this all work?
Well, that's why Morata leaving throws everything out of, or potentially leaving, I should say, throws everything out of whack and into chaos, really, because you just don't know how to bridge that gap between January and June to the end of the season. And, you know, do they basically just say, okay, you know, we'll get Icardi for 6 months just because we need a body? Or do they actually try and plan and try and get somebody like Scamacca and be like, okay, we can essentially test him out for 6 months, and if we think he's good enough for to pick up a buy option, we can. But I have to think, with Sassuolo's camp being the way they are, they're not going to basically have a be an option. I mean, you would think they would want it to be an obligation because, you know,
because look what just
who knows
that summer 2021, like,
yeah, I mean, who knows what the hell Juve's financial status is going to be. You know, we talked about it in the Supercopa thread earlier today. Is like, look, you know, stadium capacity is going back down to 50%. Who knows how long that's going to be around, and if it even goes back up towards the end of the year, knowing what the current state of the pandemic is. So it's, there are so many question marks that come up because Morata might leave that it could drive you mad.
The good news when it comes to the stadiums is, I mean, I've the science that you're seeing, you know, South Africa has basically said that their Omicron spike has already peaked and that they're already on the downswing. So it might, and a lot of you know, the US is having a big, you know, having a big problem with it right now, but a lot of modeling is saying that we might be, you know, only a few weeks away from the peak there. So it might be that Omicron kind of is heavy but quick, hopefully. I mean, obviously things can change because, you know, we've been saying this for 2 years, but that is a huge deal, you know, moving the, you know, with dropping the capacity again, because the stadium is such a huge part of Juve's revenue. And until you can pack it in again, you know, the finances of the team are basically propped up by Exor, and Exor is not going to be funneling in a ton of money for Juventus to make transfers because they've got all their other sectors that are struggling because of this pandemic. You know, Exor's lost billions of euros already since the pandemic began. So do you take a swing now with a guy like Scamacca for 40 million when you're still looking to get a guy like Vlahovic, who, let's be real, is better than Scamacca and is better than like all of the guys that are on this list of to potentially replace Morata if this deal were to go through? Do you use that money now, and then still and if you do, are you still in a position to be going after a guy like Vlahovic in the summertime?
And to me, that's why it's so important to figure out what deal they can get, right? Like, if this goes through, honestly, and I know the vibes would be at an all-time low, but it just on the pitch, speaking on the pitch exclusively, you know, bringing in Mauro Icardi for 6 months or bringing in Aubameyang for 6 months with no obligation or whatever to buy him in the summer, I think Juve is in the same spot. I don't think the on-field production of Mauro Icardi at this point in his career is going to differ a whole bunch from what they're already getting from Alvaro Morata. I really don't. Same goes for Aubameyang. I really think that just on the field, I don't think there's going to be a massive difference in what they get from that center forward position. If they can somehow manage to figure out a way to just get that six-month loan and let Morata go and maybe recoup a little bit or just, you know, be equal in terms of financials, I honestly don't have that much of a problem with it because you're stuck in the same spot. You know, you're still looking at a summer in which you need to get a center forward. You know, personally, I think Vlahovic is a pipe dream. I just don't see us getting him. But I mean, you know, we're like someone who still has a bunch of credit card debt and trying to figure out how to get a new car. Like, we owe Manuel Locatelli, like we owe Federico Chiesa, like we still, like, you know who our big summer transfers are going to be? Paying for those guys, like, because that's just how it is. So I just don't, I think that's going to be a problem that is going to remain. So if you're still in the same position in the summer, I really have no issue with them letting Morata go and bringing in one of those veteran guys and filling in for 6 months. But if that whole thing forces their hand and makes them have to invest big money on a guy that is going to be another short-term solution, if that, then I at that point, I really think that they are in a tough, tough spot. But as long as it's a loan, I honestly don't really mind buying low on Icardi or Aubameyang. You know, who knows? Maybe they get a little bit career revival. I mean, but as long as it doesn't have to be with an obligation, a big financial commitment for the future, I really don't think that the team loses a whole bunch on the field in the short term.
Well, let's transition into our first Twitter question, basically going off of what we just been talking about from at Ben Monte Farouk. And if I got that wrong, I apologize. The first question was, should Juve offload Morata? And if yes, which replacement do you personally favor within the likes of Aubameyang, Lacazette, Icardi, Cavani, Origi, Depay, anybody else, since Vlahovic and Scamacca seem totally out of reach at the moment?
And out of those guys, I would have enjoyed Cavani. I think Cavani still has, he's the type of center forward that I think ages well. I think he still has some in the tank, but apparently that has been, debunked, so he's not really an option. Honestly, I'm equally lukewarm on all the options that have been thrown around. Like, I think they're all guys who are not at their peak, who you're kind of buying low on them and hoping they can somehow, scrunch up 6 months of some top level play that they have shown to be able to perform at. Whether that happens or not, who knows? I'm really lukewarm on all options. Just from a likability standpoint, I'd rather not have Mauro Icardi, but really on the field, I just don't see a whole bunch of difference from him to Aubameyang, just in terms of what they're going to bring to the field. I just don't see a whole bunch of difference. If they have to do it, I'm fine with them bringing any of them, really. I have no preference.
Of that list, the guy with the most upside would be Origi. Just because he is relatively young, he's still at an age where he can prove his talent. He still is playing for Belgium relatively regularly, even though he doesn't get a lot of minutes at Liverpool. Whether or not that says something about himself or something about Roberto Martinez just not liking to change his roster up a lot is debatable. But like Sergio said, I don't want Icardi around at all. Aubameyang just looks like he's going through the motions these days. Maybe that's just because he's sick of Arsenal, but he's having those disciplinary issues. He's also he's missed some really simple chances with Arsenal this year that just make you wonder, what the heck has been going on. So yeah, I think that Origi is probably the best bet out of that list to be the guy that to come in, just because I think his upside is highest.
Or I agree. Just a quick comment. I would go for Origi as well. I think he has indeed, like you said, the most upside. However, I think it's actually very unlikely because Salah and Mane are leaving for African Cup of Nations, so they're going to be pretty thin. Liverpool are going to be pretty thin up front already anyway. So just because of that, I really doubt he would, or that Liverpool would let him go. So unfortunately, because indeed, from that list, I think he's probably the best one, I think.
When's the last time Juventus and Liverpool did business? Was it when Christian Poulsen went to the Premier League?
Man, you're putting me on the spot there. That's some trivia. Trivia.
I think it is.
Got to be.
I think there's some. I could have sworn there was something.
I can't think of anyone else.
I could have sworn there was something more recent than that.
It wasn't Momo Dino, Chucks.
Momo Sissoko. God. The one, the legend, the hero. My man. I mean, one of those two. one is more entertaining than the other. Let's just say it like that.
We will wrap things up with a Twitter question from our buddy David Desberg at the True ROC. Juventus New Year's resolutions for 2022. Do you guys have any? Like, say, Aaron Ramsey, either get fit or potentially just leave.
Yeah, so just leave, really. It's really only one choice. I guess as a whole, I'd enjoy it if they showed any sort of consistency moving forward. I think would be fine. That, in form, information, something that really lets you to believe that there is, some growth happening, something to build off of. Whether they can mount a title challenge this year, which seems unlikely, whether they're mostly gunning for the top four spot, which seems to be the way the season is going, but I would like to see them just try to get into rhythm, just stop being that stop and go Juventus that we have seen from the last 2-3 years. I think just getting into a rhythm, getting their players playing in a system that they know how to play in, just building that consistency. I think that's really, really the biggest thing that Juventus can do in 2022. Now, obviously, there's COVID, there's injuries, there's a bunch of things that can happen to derail that are out of their hands. But assuming none of that happens, that's pretty much what I would like to see. Just some level of consistency would be pretty good thing for Juventus in 2022.
For me, it would be score goals. Like, for goodness sake, score more goals. Like, that's just, you know, if there's been, it's just so many problems in front of goal this year. And if we finally start picking up and scoring more than a goal a game, then score enough goals and the points will follow. By the way, Danny, the answer to your question, I was just looking through it. The last time, I think the last time Juventus and Liverpool did business was Alberto Aquilani in 2010.
That one-year loan deal.
One-year loan, yeah.
When he was actually somewhat good, and then did he get hurt? Yeah, probably. He always got hurt.
For like 6 months, he was good, yeah.
It was with us for a year. He was with Milan for a year. Then he got transferred to Fiorentina, spent a couple years there.
I believe he is currently a Fiorentina youth coach. We might have to...
He is the head coach of their Primavera right now.
Yeah.
And it seems like he broke up with his girlfriend, Michela Quattrochocche. Which
say that 3 times fast.
Yeah, or 4 times.
Now it took a second.
Yeah, come on now. you all think I don't know Italian? Come on now. Even though I'm far removed from Italy, but yeah, my New Year's resolution. I'll keep it quite simple. Crying out loud, sort it out with Paulo Dybala's contract. Either sign this extension or don't. Just sort it out. Just do something, anything. They're just the most absurd contract negotiations I've ever seen in my, you know, in the time that I've followed football. So, extend them. Keep him or just let him go. I don't know, but just figure it out so that we can plan for the future. So yeah, that's mine.
Plan for the future. Come on. We're just talking about Alvaro Morata leaving 6 months early.
Well, you know what they say, hope for the best, but plan for the worst.
when you've had a president of the club who's planned for 3 years, who's planned up until the day George Mendes walked up to him and said, get my man out of there, was Cristiano Ronaldo, Cristiano Ronaldo, Cristiano Ronaldo, and Cristiano Ronaldo. Then you've got to come up with something else. Unfortunately, right now, this front office isn't nimble enough to do it quickly.
Yeah, but look at all those IG followers we got.
Gold, man.
Oh, solid the vanity gold. Metrics.
That's right.
That's like as reliable as Bitcoin.
That's right.
Like,
nah, get on the Doge, bro. Get on the Doge.
Might as well just convert the entire team's worth into NFTs, right?
That's right.
The pay as long as as long as Elon says it, then I'll do it.
As long as Elon says it. There are things I'll say to that I want to say to that, but I will.
Hey, at least you paid his taxes this year, supposedly.
Elon Musk is the only man in the world who's got a face more punchable than Ted Cruz.
That's right. And on that note, we'll wrap things up.
You can cut that out if you want.
Thank you very much for listening to the Old Lady Speaks podcast and sending in your Twitter questions. As always, you can send them to us at Juventus Nation on Twitter. You can follow us there as well as on Facebook at Black and White and Red All Over. You can also use that same search tool for us on your favorite podcasting platform, whether it is Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. So, for Sam, for Chucks, and for Sergio, this is Danny saying thank you very much for listening. And for the first time in a few weeks, we'll see you guys next week after Juventus plays a game.